Blog Talk Radio.
Many people regard you as a personification of Ubuntu. What do you understand Ubuntu to be?
In the old days, when we were young, a traveler through a country would stop at a village. And he didn't have to ask for food or for water. Once he stops, the people give him food, entertain him. That is one aspect of Ubuntu, but it will have various aspects. Ubuntu does not mean that people should not enrich themselves. The question, therefore, is, are you going to do so in order to enable the community around you to be able to improve? These are the important things in life. And if one can do that, you have done something very important which will be appreciated.
This is the Open Source Report on the 15th of November, 2015. MA here on the Boston Red Network. That is WBRN. It's always a joy to do these broadcasts. We have to adjust from the other types of broadcasts we do, basically economic and political in nature. And we do invite you to tune in to those broadcasts. Numbers Man, that is our macroeconomic implementation, we'll say. And we do that usually once a week, sometimes more than that. It's called This Week in Economics. And we have Boston Red as a political broadcast. We do it 6 or 7 times a week. We cover many different issues in the political sector. You can go there on various outlets, whether it be on iHeart, Spreaker, Blog Talk, where we'll be here with this one, or many of the others that are out there, some for mobile devices, some for other types of implementation. But because more and more of computing is going to mobile devices, we'll spend some time talking about Android, the security enhancement within Android. We'll talk in this presentation about security enhancement in Linux, or SE Linux, we've been using here for a number of years, from the days when we used to literally go and download it from the National Security Agency and check off a little agreement there. It is now in the kernel, and we're using as our working base an article in the Washington Post, and we'll read some and we'll make some commentary. And first of all, as we usually begin these broadcasts, we don't want to be remiss, the current stable kernel is 4.3. Now, there in this particular article in the Washington Post, two things. Much ado about the security of the Linux kernel. We'll address those issues from 2 or 3 different angles. And also about the, state of the Linux kernel, its development, and how women feel that it is a hostile work environment. Now, this goes beyond just the Linux kernel and Mr. Torvalds. It is surrounds the types of companies that are part and partial of this. This is a commercial side, the Red Hats, etc., of this commercial venture. And the people that surround it, and Silicon Valley in general, Jesse Jackson can speak to that much more eloquently than us. They have a project at Operation Push to address that particular situation, and he has been in Silicon Valley meeting with the various enterprises there, Yahoo, Google, and there is a long, long name of these people. So we don't want to convey, as I think the Post article is, and of course, again, now the Post is owned by the Amazon tycoon there, and we have to look very carefully at what they write. But we will go into a little bit of the history for those that have not seen the history, and also into what's euphemistically now called diversity. At the University of Missouri, where they've had the troubles, as the Irish would call it, they now will have a diversity director. But a diversity director without any diversity doesn't mean that there is an effort there. There's a big picture of Linus, and you'll see him in his office. His office is not as junky as our office. We'll just start this off here. It took years for the Internet to reach its first 100 computers. Today, 100 new ones join every second, no doubt about that. Linus Torvald is the person around there who in person could be mistaken for just another pudgy middle-aged suburban police person. He lives outside of Portland, Oregon. But his influence, no doubt, looms. The Linux operating system that he created, it came out of something called Menix at the time, and was we used to sell those two kits along with Unix. We started out as Unix developers, went into, we'll just recap a little bit of this, went into, quote-unquote, the shareware situation, which is basically sort of like this. And we have to bring Dr. Stallman in here, where he talks about free or liberate software. Now, there is a distinction there, and we are coming every day more and more to Dr. Stallman's point of view. And because of a number of problems that we have here with the so-called open source. Now, you have to understand, open source had evolved from the idea that he had. It was just basically free software out there. And then the term open source, because the source code is indeed open, whereas you have proprietary source code. An example there would be Microsoft's code where it matters anymore. That was their Windows operating system. But what is happening here is a migration to a more open model. Now, not a free model, but an open model in what is euphemistically called the cloud. And the cloud is out there. More and more companies are moving there. It's, I think, projected by, was it 2020? For us old timers, you start talking about 2020, that's way out there. Or perhaps 2025. But anyway, 78% of the companies will be there in the cloud. And we saw a piece the other day talking about the cloud and what is realized and what is not realized in the cloud. One thing you have to understand is that the word term cloud is a basically a sales pitch. And the economics of the cloud, we've done some programs on that, or at least segments on the economics of the cloud, and some of that is being called into question, but that's not our mission here today, is just to clear up a little bit of what surrounds the kernel and its developer, champion, or whatever you want to call him, Mr. Torvalds. Let me move on with this Washington Post article. But while Linux, is fast, flexible, and free, no doubt about that, it is, in that sense, liberty software. Now, there are companies that sell it. Let me just get to that. We've debated with these people before about their selling models. At one time, many of the companies out there that featured products and in an open source environment, you can improve the product. And the kernel has been incorporated in many of these distributions, including the one we use, Slackware, and our implementation, which is no more than, at this point in time, we put our name on the label, so to speak. But we do plan to make improvements to it. In the kernel is the security enhancement part, and you need to enable certain things. Now, there are certain things in this article that they take for granted, and we'll get to that in just a second here, about some of the servers, and overall, overwhelming all the servers, basically, are running on Linux these days. Even Microsoft has conceded that with the Microsoft cloud, used to be Azure, and all the other cloud vendors, whether it be Amazon, etc., are running some implementation of Linux. That we'll concede here. But the security part there, and of course Linus has had some views of some of these security experts. Now, you have to understand about security experts, there are many. They're good, bad, and ugly. It's a commercial venture, so you have to take it with a grain of salt. He called one group of masturbating monkeys. He said, please kill yourself. Now, this is one of the more subtle things of potty mouth here. The world would be a better place. Well, that can be applied to several people there, and it was, I remember Dr. Stallman applied that to none other than Steve Jobs. But anyway, nonetheless, there are legitimate philosophical differences among the harsh words. Linux has thrived in part because of the founders. The article points out a relentless focus on performance, reliability, both of which can suffer more security features. Now, to bring this to a more common thing for many people, adding various types of software, virus intrusion software is what basically we use today. It diminishes the speed of your desktop for those that are still using desktops out there, and that's a known factor. You will have some of that. The less you have of these, the faster, obviously, it works. But we have other ways of securing a particular setup. Works on any chip in the world, no doubt about that, and it is being ported, we call it, to more and more chips. Now, this is from a guy named Daniel McCare, I suppose. He's in Toronto. We'll look a little at his enterprise. It's called Copperhead. It's developing a hardened version of the Android operating system, which is based on Linux. There are a lot of kernel developers who do care about security, but they are not the ones making the call. Well, again, this is a kind of interesting situation. Rip between Linus and the security experts is a particular source of worry for those who see Linux becoming a dominant operating system. No doubt it's already become that. It used to be Windows, but Windows was a peer-to-peer system. If you don't secrete security like a religious fanatic, you're going to be hurt like you can't imagine. And, of course, Linus never took that seriously. And fanaticism in security is not the answer. And the reason for that is the democratization of knowledge. In other words, knowledge is developed these days. And in many parts of the world, the knowledge in, say, North America or Europe is equal to or greater than, and that is one of the problems there. That comment was was by a guy named Dave Attell, a former National Security Agency research scientist and founder of Immunity, Florida-based security company. Now, obviously, security companies are in business to quote-unquote secure things. That's to be expected. And since 1991, Linus has managed the kernel and done a very good job of it. Now, they give a little bit of personal thing about him, and we'll hear from him talking about that, living in the suburban area there. Has a license plate, dad of three, has three kids, and king of the geeks. Well, I don't doubt that. But nonetheless, the Linux kernel runs on the New York Stock Exchange. Oracle now has its own version because of the purchase from Sun. Sun came out with Linux, but Sun had its own operating system, and Sun is no more. So that sort of tells the story there. And other companies, Google, of course, Facebook, Amazon, they all have this operating system. And it is very hard to imagine that these people, and that is the open source way, can harden their systems. Now, the system is a little bit more than just the kernel. It's what else you put on it. Nonetheless, even more broadly, the battle over the Linux security is a fight over the future of the online world. No doubt about that. Computer scientists out there, and a lot of this, what has been put to Linus, is not particularly his problem there. It is a problem of many of these enterprises, and the basic problem boils down to many of these enterprises are not running the most up-to-date kernels, and they're not updating their binaries and other things that they should be updating, period. And the article is a very, very long article, and basically here that several, we get CoreOS here. While I don't think that the Linux kernel has a terrible track record, it's certainly much worse than a lot of people like to say. Well, this is from some guy named Mark Garrett. He's a principal security engineer at this CoreOS in San Francisco. Very little of the research, the security research into the kernel. Well, Linus never claimed to be a security person. Versions of Linux have proved vulnerable to security, but so have other OSs. Incidentally, the AshleyMadison.com site for extramarital affairs suffered an embarrassing break and was reportedly running Linux on it, so we don't know that. And that's part of the problem there at this point in time. The problem is not involved the kernel itself, no doubt. The kernel has become a popular target for hackers building botnets, giant networks of computers that can be organized to initiate cyber attacks. Experts also say that the government spies and the companies that sell their surveillance tools have turned their attention to the kernel as Linux spreads. No doubt about that. That would happen anyway. They had turned their attention to Windows, but the attention there was not something that they had to concentrate very long on, because since it was a peer-to-peer type of network. Now, this is where the whole Linux experience changed. You had the Red Hats of the world, which today is, the Slackwares of the world, which is still Slackware. It's not a commercial venture as such there, but it is still in business and still has its maintainer. But companies like Red Hat, we were at a conference with them, and they are in North Carolina. They made millions of dollars off of this. They've given Linus a stock options, which is good. We've always opposed stock options, but in the sense that that was in gratitude for him developing the kernel. And also Ubuntu, South African business type. I'm glad they finally called him that. He's now in London. That is on the desktop of many. The concept of Ubuntu, of course, is a South African concept there in the Bantu language. Nelson Mandela at our opening explains Ubuntu. It goes beyond just the desktop. IBM, Oracle now, Intel, they've all put their bets on Linux, and for very good reason. But nonetheless, Linus is now in Silicon Valley, and he's been there, and he's now part of the Linux Foundation. And we've had our differences with the Linux Foundation over diversity and the companies within, and there is now not an actual program there. Let me just hurry along here. I don't want to spend too much time there, but the problem, as critics point out, was that the protections relied on building walls around the operating system, period. Those who penetrate gain control of the kernel. There's no doubt about that, and every other piece of software on the machine was flawlessly protected, but according to Keyes Cook, This made the Linux kernel the ultimate attack surface. Vulnerabilities in the kernel generally mean that the attackers with access to a flawed kernel interface, meaning a big bug in the code. Sid Cook, who was, 2006 to 2011, he worked at Kennecotter doing the Ubuntu support, and now he is with Google. And they refer to various other people. We won't spend a lot of time on that, but we will go to, we want to first, let me just get the comments of this lady that was deeply offended by what has happened in the kernel community. We started off there and have been moving around a bit here. We'll have to back up a bit here. This is from ZNet here, and maybe we'll have to back up once again here. But the environment here, and she quit actually, quit the interacting within the Linux development community. And this was one of the things that we wanted to highlight here. We literally got so many things on our desktop that the part of the hostile work environment part has went out. Well, so let me just skip around. I'll get back to that, we promise. We'll now skip to Android. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but it has SER, Security Enhanced Linux, in the Android kernel. Now, that began with 4.3 with the sandbox were defined by the creation of a unique Unix UID for each application, starting with 4.3 there, and it will extend to Marshmallow, which is 6 plus. There, and we now let me just go down to this PDE here and get Marshmallow. Anyway, enable application apps to opt into stronger protection, sandbox isolation, file protection, investigate new runtime permission feature. That'll be in Android 6 when it's released. And we've been doing some work lately on the Internet of Things and getting together a security presentation, and the source code is coming out very slowly. Improved SE Linux tooling for Android and kernel self-protection. Now, these are ways of protecting it. Now, SE Linux in Android versus Linux distribution, 60% of active Android devices are running a version of Android that has SE in it. That's Jelly Bean, 4.7%, KitKat, 39.3%, Lollipop, 18%. In Android, 4.4, latest always embedded and enforced. As of 5 and later, Android has more security default policies than the Linux distributions. Now, this is a very valid point here, and yet Android has a much smaller and simpler policy than Linux distributions, roughly 5% of the number of rules, 10% the number of types. Could a similar policy be developed in the Linux distributions? That's a question they ask here, and let me get down here. And we'll have to get those answered later date there. Let me just get Copperhead very quickly here. It's in ALPA. It's on the Galaxy 5 and Nexus 5, excuse me, and the Galaxy 4. This is from Toronto. It's released in support. It's currently on that. They are testing it, and this is their implementation. The pre-built ROMs noted, how to install them. I'll put a link there as to how you can install them on these two devices. that are out there. And let me just get back to this just 1 second here. And I want to close the presentation. Now to the case of Sarah Sharp. She was a Linux kernel developer and is no longer one. She was the USB 3 host controller driver. That was her part of it. And also she coordinated the FOSS outreach program for women. But let's get to her situation. 2 years ago, she called on Torvalds to keep it professional. This week, she revealed that she could no longer participate in the community of developers. And she has closed the door here. And we explained before, won't go back to it, but basically what is happening. We'll put a link to her blog here. This post has been sitting on my draft folder for a year now, and it's never been the right time to post this. This is Sarah Sharp. This is posted on the 5th of October, 2015. I have always been worried about the backlash. I skirted around talking about this issue publicly for some time, but not acknowledging the elephant in the room has eaten away at me a bit. So here goes. Here's the deal. I'm not a Linux or kernel developer anymore. I quietly transferred the maintainership, they call it, of the 3.0 USB 3.0 host controller in May of 2014. In January, I stepped down from being the Linux kernel coordinator for the FOSS outreach program for women and moved up to help coordinate an overall outreach program. As of December the 6th, 2014, I gave up what I hope was my last presentation on the kernel development. I was asked to help coordinate a Linux plumbers conference in Seattle. That was in August of this year, 2015. I said no. My Linux Foundation, a technical advisory board term, is soon over, and I will not be running for re-election. She doesn't see any possibility here. Given the choice, I would never send another patch, bug, or suggestion to the Linux kernel list again. My personal box has oozed with recent kernels, and I ignore it. My current work on user space graphic enhancement may require me to send an occasional kernel patch, but I know I will spend at least a day of dreaming of the potential toxic background that radiates the radiation of an interaction with the kernel community before I send anything. I'm no longer part of the Linux kernel community. This came about after a very long period of thought and lots of succession planning. I didn't take the decision to step down lightly. I felt guilty for a long time for stepping down. However, I finally realized that I could no longer contribute to the kernel community where I was technically respected, but I could not ask for personal respect. I could not work with people who's helpfully encouraged newcomers to send patches and argued that the maintainers should be allowed to spew whatever vile words they need in order to maintain a radical emotional honesty, which is very subjective. I did not want to work professionally with people who were allowed to get away with subtle sexism or homophobic jokes. I feel powerless in a community that has a code of conduct without specifically listing of behaviors to avoid, in a community with no teeth to enforce it. There's no enforcement there. I came about with a very long, excuse me, I have utmost respect for the technical efforts of the Linux kernel community. They have a scaled and grown a project that is focused on maintaining some of the highest code standards out there. The focus on technical excellence in a combination with overloaded maintainers, no doubt about that, people with different cultural and social norms, means that the kernel maintainers are often blunt, rude, brutal. To get the job done, top kernel developers often yell at each other in order to correct others' behavior. That is not a communication style that works for me. I need communication that is technically blunt but personally respectful. And that's a very good point. I would prefer the Linux kernel community to be more respectful. I would prefer that the maintainers find healthier ways to communicate when they are frustrated. Sadly, the behavioral changes I would like to see in the Linux kernel community are unlikely to happen anytime soon. Many senior Linux kernel developers stand by the right of maintainers to be technically and personally brutal. Even though they are nice people in person, they do not want to see the Linux kernel communication style change. That's very unfortunate because they lose out on a lot of different things. I'm not posting this for the Linux kernel developers. I'm posting this to point. I'm not pointing fingers at specific people. I'm posting this because I grieve for the community that I no longer want to be part of. I'm posting this because I feel sad every time someone thanks me for standing up for better community norms, because I have essentially gave up trying to change the Linux kernel community. Cultural change is slow, painful process that I no longer have the mental energy to be an active part of that cultural change in the kernel. I have hope that the Linux kernel community will change over time. I have been a part of that change, and the documentation, tutorials, and programs that I started, like the outreach of kernel internships, will continue to grow in my absence. Maybe I'll be back someday when things are better. I have a decade-long career in front of me and can't wait. In the meantime, there are other friendlier open-source communities for me to play in. That is Sarah Sharp writing on her blog. We'll link that down. We wanted to round that out. In the kernel community, there's that hostility. But in the overall Silicon Valley experience, it's the same basic setup that you have. Little has changed. And that is very unfortunate. I was talking to a group of young ladies a few weeks ago, I guess, that the absence of women in information technology, high tech, Silicon Valley, etc. And they pegged it back to the demise of the mainframes. But that is really not the case. Although some women did, in fact, work on mainframes, were mainframe jockeys, the mainframe jockeys started to disappear in the mid-80s. As the industry, as demand moved more to personal computers, the IBM PCs, the Apples came out, and those types of demands changed. And of course, later we saw the implementation of network setups using smaller microprocessors within the business community, went from the mainframe to these servers, etc. But at that juncture, we did not have women encouraged to participate. And, of course, when we had the dot-com boom, we didn't have women encouraged to participate in that. And that is part of the problem there, as I see it. But what has happened here is because of, say, a Google with their Android development, now more and more people, it's globalized. And that will bring about the change because it is, quote-unquote, market-driven. but it's also people-driven. And people are becoming above the market. So these old business models that they once had are no longer there. In other words, the quote-unquote good old boys club. And one lady, also, maybe it was two, the gamer culture, and she was a gamer. I'm not a gamer. I don't have time for that foolishness. But I have built custom gaming boxes, computer stations for people in their 50s that could afford it. You'd spend several thousand dollars. At that time, you'd spend $1,000 on a video card. And today, you can, of course, that card doesn't exist anymore. I guess you could get it for about $30 if it did. But today, you can get a good video card, a young fellow told me, for about $400. And even some people do games on the laptops now that are notebooks, what you want to call them, that have faster processors. And we have G4 on the mobile units. You can do more and more, quote-unquote, of gaming. Now I'm talking about the Xbox boys and girls and the other various instruments out there, the Sony, PlayStation, I guess, etc. But the games used to go with a lady from Sweden, and it was kind of interesting. The games were, at that time, shoot-em-ups, I'd call them. From the Wild Wild West days, you'd shoot whatever. And they're still shoot-em-ups. So I suppose if you're talking about a shoot-em-up culture, the military uses simulators where you can shoot them up. In other words, you're firing cruise missiles there. But it's basically the same sort of thing. So if you, I suppose, talking about that kind of culture, but that's changing too. Women are now going into the special forces in the U.S. They've been in there in other countries. So all of that will start to change. You get several women, and you get more women, and then it'll end up like law schooling. Remember when we had a few? Now it's a 50-50 situation. I was told that recently a visit to a dental school. It's now 50-50 there. And medical school, and will come. So in other words, you are moving more and more people into these core industries. But at the same time, as you move more and more women into executive positions, like the head of IBM is a woman. So you'll see more and more of this, but this outpost of the Wild Wild West called Silicon Valley has not come to yet. So this article in the Post, where it highlights Potty Mouth Torvalds there, but it's not Potty Mouth's fault. And the kernel, no doubt there are other companies can do that, and that's the whole idea, quote-unquote, behind open source. If Linus doesn't do it, others will do it, and they will come out with versions of there, like with Android, and the Marshmallow with the sandbox principle. Nonetheless, this will do it for our broadcast on basically security, the Linux kernel, security enhanced kernel, the Android kernel, which is enhanced too. And as we go more to the broader Internet of Things, we'll see more and more of the secure, enhanced part of it coming out. And that is part of the evolution. And, of course, in the cloud centers, we have more than just a kernel operating there. Other ways of protecting it. It keeps the security people out there. They do penetration. They are constantly trying to figure out how to outsmart the other gang, so to speak. Nonetheless, have a good weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you next week on the Open Source Report. M.A., peace out.
How much it does for me, but I'm sure it's healthier than just sitting down. I'm also trying to keep my desk clean, because if you pan over to my old desk, which I don't actually use anymore because it got so filled with crap, I don't know what to do about this anymore. I need to burn it down someday. I used to work night times, but then I got kids, and the kids go to school, and that means that we had to wake up at 7:30 or so to take the kids to school. It's not exactly a 9-to-5 job, but it is actually fairly close. And you can see that in the commit logs. It's interesting. I sometimes do statistics of how which time zones people are and what time people are working at. And these days, you can definitely tell that a lot of people are actually keeping pretty regular hours. I'm not the only one with kids, clearly. It's set at a very slow speed. I call it my zombie shuffling desk, because if I put it any faster than 1 mile an hour, my mouse movements get very erratic and I no longer can close my windows. I only have a web browser, which is how I read email, and a couple of terminal windows open, which is where I end up doing my Git pulls and any coding, although the coding part is not that common anymore. In between emails, I end up reading various tech sites and sometimes not so tech sites, depending on what's going on. I'm going to stop this because I'm having a hard time walking sideways. So this guy, I was actually really hoping that the kids would find interesting, because when I grew up, if I had had something like this, I would have been all over it. And my oldest has actually been using this for school projects and things like that. So it has gotten some use. I'd like to say that all this is priced possessions, but it's actually just garbage. I'm just not very emotional when it comes to technology, so old technology is just old and broken, and I'd much rather play with the new stuff. When I get new technology, which happens quite often, I don't want to throw the hard disks out. So I literally have this pile of hard disks that have accumulated over the last 15 years. I'm supposed to wipe them or use a hammer on them and then throw them out, but I'm just too lazy. Usually the view looks like this, because I don't want the sun to come in and disturb me. So this time of year, it's not as distracting, but in a couple of months, I will have that closed completely, because I do not want to see outside. And then you have various scuba equipment. There's two cameras there. There's a pair of scuba fins and my regulator in the other corner. For some reason, people keep sending me penguins. And we have a lot more than these, but we ended up basically giving away the duplicates. So these are mostly unique,